This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. First of all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanallah, we've only got less than 60 days, maybe 50 days or something like that until we're going to be in Ramadan, inshallah. So I'm trying to focus on some subjects that can help us to enhance Ramadan for us. And the topic I chose to speak about today is the meanings of Surah Fatiha, inshallah, because we spoke about a few weeks ago about our salah, you know, our prayer and the importance of, you know, the prayer in our lives. And I want to speak about Surah Fatiha because every one of us reads it in your Fard prayers, and yet so often we don't know what it means. So I suggest that you get out your pen and paper, because, you know, one of the reasons we don't have khushu' in our prayers is because we don't actually know the meanings of the words. So when you know the meanings of the words, it has a very big impact on your heart. And that's the difference between our prayers and the prayers of the Sahaba. Like, if you look at the way they were praying in comparison to us, like, it's related that, you know, for example, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, he wouldn't get past, you know, the first few lines of Surah Fatiha, except his beard will be soaking with tears, you know, how much he's affected by the verses. So that's the difference between our prayers and their prayers. And a lot of it's got to do with the fact that we just don't understand the words and what they mean. Okay, so Surah Al-Fatiha, why is it called Surah Al-Fatiha, first of all? Like, if you know, Fataha means open, like opened. Okay, so Surah Al-Fatiha, it's called Al-Fatiha because it's the opener. Like, it's the one thing that opens. And it's what opens the Quran. You know, it begins the Quran. And also, it's also said that it was the first surah to be revealed in its entirety. Like, there's a dispute amongst the ulama about which is the first surah that was revealed as a whole. But it's said that, from the opinion of many scholars, is the first surah that was revealed in its entirety was Surah Al-Fatiha. Another thing also, as we know, is Surah Al-Fatiha is what we begin the prayer with. We begin every prayer with Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, Surah Al-Fatiha, we notice that Allah Ta'ala chose to begin the Quran with it, and we read it, and He chose it for us to begin every single prayer with it. So there's a big reason why. There's a big reason why He chose it to begin the Quran with it, and also begin each of our prayers with it. And what is that reason? One of the reasons the ulama said is, like, Surah Al-Fatiha, as you know, it's called al-Quran or al-Kitab. Like, so it's the source, or, you know, it's the most, it contains all the comprehensive meanings of the Quran within it. So every meaning or every subject that comes in the Quran after that, you'll find the origin of it is in Surah Al-Fatiha. So, for example, if you look at what's contained in Surah Fatiha, it contains the praising of Allah. It contains making dua to Allah. It contains asking for help from Allah. It contains depending on Allah. You know, subjecting oneself and humbling oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like a summary of everything that's contained in the Quran. And this is why it's considered like a mu'jiza. It's considered like a miracle of the Quran. Because imagine, it only contains 25 words and 113 letters, and yet it's containing all of these comprehensive meanings within it. So this is, and the other thing is, we know that Allah Ta'ala made it as a pillar of every single rak'ah. Like, without Surah Fatiha, your rak'ah is not accepted. Like, it's a pillar of the prayer that you have to come with it in every single rak'ah. And another of the virtues of Surah Fatiha also is it can be recited as a ruqya. It can be recited as a ruqya. We spoke about ruqya a few weeks ago as well. Like, if you're sick, you can read it into your hands, and then you can blow, and then you can wipe over your body, and you can repeat that 7 times, And that was even done in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one man was bitten by a scorpion and one of the companions went and he recited sort of Fatiha and did what I just mentioned over this man, and subhanAllah, the man got up as if he hadn't been bitten. So, and then he went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "How did you know that it was a ruqya?" So, like, we can actually use all of the Quran as a ruqya, but in particular, there are some verses and some surahs of the Quran which are particularly, subhanAllah, the barakah is great. You know, of course, all the words of Allah are barakah, but there are some that are more, you know, stronger for you know, in particular, ruqya. Okay, so that's introducing Surah Fatiha. And like I said, it's also called Umul Kitab, it's also called Al-Qur'an. And so we begin every surah of the Qur'an begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, what is the meaning of these words? I begin seeking the help of Allah, because the ba' is called ba' al-isti'ana, like it means the ba' of seeking help, right? So you're saying Bismillah, I seek help in ism is name, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. I seek help in the name of Allah, right? In all of my affairs, in all of my affairs. And that's why even before, you know, writing a speech or before, you know, sorry, saying some, you know, saying some words or writing something, we can say Bismillah or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And we know the letters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to begin them with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, because that's what Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is saying. Like, it's, you're saying, you know, I seek help with you, Ya Allah, in your name, Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And when Allah says Allah, Allah is Al-Ism Al-A'zam, like it is the greatest name of Allah. Like, the name Allah is considered to be Al-Ism Al-A'zam, which means the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the name because nobody else is named with this name. First of all, nothing and no one else is named with this name. That's one thing. And the other thing is that all of Allah's other names are derived from this name. So Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Qudus, all of them are, you know, derived from this name. So we have to, you know, so we have to realize, my dear sisters, that no matter how much a human looks for peace and tranquility in this world, right? You know, we always are looking for what makes us happy. So we think, if I have a husband, I would be happy. If I had children, I would be happy. If I had kids, if I had wealth, I would be happy. You know, if I had a better house, I'll be happy. You know, we always think that if we had this and that to complete our lives, we'd be happier. But the reality is, all of that is a temporary, it only brings a temporary type of happiness, right? But it's only through knowing Allah. The reality is, you will never be complete and you'll never feel the complete, like, tranquility in your heart and peace until you know Allah and seek nearness to Him, all right? You have to live your life seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, making your aim to always draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and depending on Him in doing that. Okay, so that's, it's only when you start to do that in your life sincerely that you're going to be able to get feel the true happiness that comes through that. Okay, so that's you know, Surah Fatiha is actually teaching our hearts how to turn back to Allah. And I'm going to show you how in a minute, inshallah. So Surah Fatiha is teaching your heart how to come back to Allah, because we are busy with our lives during the day. We're busy with our lives and we need that constant reminder to direct us back, to direct us back to our purpose, direct us back to our goal where we should be heading. So now Allah Ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman, this is part of, we're still saying the Basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ar-Rahman. So one thing we can say here is we thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that He began with His words, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay? That He chose to, in the name of Allah, how does He choose to describe Himself? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So He could have used other names. He could have said Al-Qawi, Al-Azim, you know, like the strong and the mighty. But he chose, subhanAllah, from his mercy, he chose his names that relate to mercy. You know, so that our hearts feel close to him, feeling his mercy, knowing that whatever happens, you know, Allah's mercy encompasses all things. So Allah is Ar-Rahman. He's the one who pardons and forgives those who turn to him in tawbah. He's the one who, you know, full of mercy. And the name Ar-Rahman, like if you understand like about the, it's called wazn in Arabic, which means like the weight of the words. Each word has different weights, like nouns have, you know, weights. So Al-Fa'lan means the one who's full of something. So like, for example, if you say someone's ghadban, means they're full of anger. Okay? But when you say Ar-Rahman, it means the one who is full of mercy. Full of mercy. So it's describing, you know, about Allah's action. Sorry, it's describing about Allah. It's describing his wasf, like it's describing a description of Allah. It's describing how Allah is. Okay, it's describing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that he's full of mercy and he's full of rahmah. So his rahmah is to be found in this world and also in the akhirah. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah has he has 100 mercies, and only one of them has been put in this dunya. Only one part of those mercies has been put in this dunya, and that's the mercy you see, for example, with a horse, you know, like the mother horse raises her hoof not to hurt her calf, you know. The bird in the nest, you know, she makes her nest, she sits on her eggs. And even the rahmah between human beings. So all of that you see in the earth, the rahmah that exists in the earth, the natural rahmah, that's all just one part of, from, you know, that's only one part of 100 parts. But then there's 99 parts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for Yawm al-Qiyamah. And who is that? Who is that for? That's for the mu'mineen. That's reserved for the mu'mineen. Okay, so Allah's rahmah is something, the rahmah that's in this world is for both the believer and even the disbeliever. Even for the disbeliever, Allah has rahmah with them. Okay, so we have to realize, yes, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is not just for, in this world, is not just for the believers, even for the disbelievers. Because if Allah didn't have rahmah for the disbelievers, they wouldn't even have one sip of water in this world. They wouldn't even have one sip of water. So Allah is even having mercy with them despite they do not even one time in their life, you know, say Alhamdulillah or do sajda to Allah, not once. But he still, subhanAllah, is surrounding them. You know, he's still his mercy, like they enjoy from his mercy every day. Okay? But when we're talking about the specific mercy that's for the believers, this is what's contained in Allah's name, Ar-Rahim. Now here is the action of Allah. Here is the action. Okay? It's talking about Allah's action of bestowing his mercy. Okay? And this rahmah is for the mu'mineen, because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, that he is most merciful to the mu'mineen. Okay? So that's a very summarized definition of the meaning of Bismillahi Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, the one who's full of mercy, Ar-Rahim, the one who bestows his mercy upon the mu'mineen. Okay, so that's how you feel from the very beginning. And then we come to the next words. So now Allah Ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Okay, all praise is due to Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. Now, Alhamd, when we say Alhamd, it means that all praise and thanks is due to Allah Ta'ala. All praise and thanks is due to Allah Ta'ala. So he is to be praised in every way, and he is to be venerated with your heart in every way. So when you say this when you say this verse, in fact, my dear sisters, what you should be doing with your heart is filling your heart full of love for Allah. Okay? You're saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And you make your heart feel full of praise for Allah, full of gratefulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're praising Him because He deserves every praise due to all of His beautiful names, due to all of His beautiful attributes, and all of His actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how Alhamd is different from Shukr. Right? There's Hamd and there's Shukr. So Hamd is it's when you praise, you're praising Allah for His characteristics that He has. That's Alhamd. Your all praise is for Him because He deserves to be praised just for who He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Ash-Shukr is you're thanking Allah for what they've done. Sorry, you're thanking someone. When you do Shukr, it's because you're thanking someone for what they've done. Okay, just for, not because of their characteristics they possess, but just because they've done something, like a favor for you or something like that. Okay, so that's the difference. So that's why Allah Ta'ala deserves Alhamd just for who He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who is Al-Khaliq, He's the creator, He's Al-Raziq, he's the provider, and He's Al-Mudabbir, He is the manager of the affairs. Without Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing would have existed. And nothing and everything would cease to exist if it wasn't for His rahmah sustaining. If it wasn't for His rahmah sustaining what's in existence. Okay, so no one deserves to be truly thanked and praised except Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why our hearts need to, you know, you need to, this, if you open your heart to Allah in the prayer and you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, feeling that praise to Allah, you'll see the happiness that comes in your heart from the very beginning. Okay, you feel your heart lifting up and feeling happy. Okay? Then Rabbil Alameen, why is He Rabbil Alameen? Why is He Lord of the worlds? Because He's the one who originated all of the Alameen. Right? The Alameen, everything besides Allah is from the Alameen. So Allah is Al-Khaliq, and everything else besides Him is makhluq. It's all creation, right? So He is the Lord of Al-Alameen, and everything besides Him is in an alam, like, which is a kingdom, like kingdoms. You know, you have the alam of the humans, you have the alam of the jinn, you have the alam of the angels, you have the alam of the planets, you have the alam of the animals. So there's all different kingdoms, and Allah Ta'ala is Rabbil Alameen. He is the Lord of all of these alameen, and He's the one who created them. He's the one who provides for them. He's the one, and He's the one who sustains and nurtures them. That's why He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserves to be worshipped alone. Okay? So every one of them, every day, Allah Ta'ala is sustaining the creations. You know, His rizq is coming upon them. And He's the one who covers and shelters. He's the one who pardons and forgives. He's the one who gives victory. He's the one who, you know, brings life and brings death. And He gives and He withholds. So this is all from His actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so now, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah, emphasizing again Allah's mercy. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So He's repeating these sifat, He's repeating these attributes in order to emphasize them. So we seek His rahmah, because His rahmah is wider and more vast than anything. Allah says in the Quran, "Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay." That my rahmah is more vast than everything. Okay, so that's why we should never despair of the mercy of Allah. We should never despair of the mercy of Allah, and we should always turn to Him in order to seek it. Like, don't just hope, don't have just wishful thinking that you're going to get the mercy of Allah. You need to actively seek it from Allah. You can't just, you know, hope in your heart, inshallah, Allah will forgive me and Allah will have mercy on me and I'm going to enter Jannah. You have to actively seek Allah's mercy by making dua, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, I ask You for Jannah. Ya Allah, I ask You to have rahmah upon me. Ya Allah, I ask You to have rahmah on my family. Okay, so you need to actively seek the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But know that no matter what your situation is, you know, no matter how, you know, desperate your situation, or, you know, no matter how, what you've done, no matter what, how many sins you've committed or what you've done, but always know that Allah's rahmah is greater than it. But it's just a matter of you taking the steps. You have to take the steps to seek Allah's rahmah. And we have to realize that every day, from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep, even when you sleep, you're experiencing Allah's rahmah. But we are not, subhanAllah, we don't reflect, and we're not grateful enough to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to realize this rahmah. Who was the one who kept you alive last night? It's only by the rahmah of Allah. Because can you control your heart rate while you're sleeping? Can you control your breath while you're sleeping? Wallahi, none of us can control our heart nor our breath when we're sleeping. So it's only by Allah's rahmah that He's sustaining us over the night. And if He didn't want, we wouldn't even take the next breath. So it's by the rahmah of Allah that we even take, you know, one breath. It's from His rahmah. And if we came here to the lesson safely, that was by His rahmah. So whatever He gives us is a rahmah, and whatever He is protecting us from is also a rahmah. Things that, you know, when you see someone getting affected in their life with a sickness or, you know, with a hardship, and you're not being affected, you should reflect on that and realize that's from a rahmah of Allah, that Allah did not test you in the same way. But so often we're always just feeling sorry for ourselves and thinking about what we don't have, and we're not realizing how much we are drowning in the rahmah of Allah. Literally drowning in the rahmah of Allah every day. Subhanallah. Like Allah says, وَإِن تُعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try to count the blessings of Allah or try to estimate them, you'll never be able to. But the thing is that we don't even take the time out of our busy life to even reflect upon all of those blessings. So everything is being sustained by the rahmah of Allah. The birds in their nests, you know, even the ants, everything, subhanAllah, is coming under the rahmah of Allah, subhanAllah. Even when a person, if a mu'min gets sick, they are still under the rahmah of Allah. Anything that happens to a believer in this life, there's a rahmah of Allah for them. So don't ever think that, you know, that Allah's not having rahmah for you due to a trial you're going through. No, Allah's rahmah is with you. Allah's rahmah is with you as long as you're with Allah. As long as you're with Allah, Allah's rahmah is with you. Because why? Because through that hardship, He's raising your level in Jannah. Through that hardship, He's purifying you from your sins. Through that hardship, you know, yani, subhanAllah, like you're being purified, you're being healed, you're being strengthened through that hardship. So there's Allah's teaching you so many lessons through that hardship. So there's always rahmah for a believer, even if we might not be able to necessarily, you know, like when we look at someone's hardship, we think, subhanAllah, look at that hardship. But you have to realize, no matter what Allah's testing someone with, there's always rahmah there. There's always rahmah. And if you see what Allah's going to give them in the next life due to what they went through, then subhanAllah, that's only then you would realize how much rahmah Allah had for someone, subhanAllah. So that's the first thing. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You're filling your heart full of love for Allah, like I said, and veneration for Allah. Okay? And then when you say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, you should fill your heart with hope. You're hoping with your heart for the mercy from Allah. Okay? Then you come to the next verses. Maliki Yawmiddin. Alright? Maliki Yawmiddin is the controller or the owner of, you know, the owner of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And also, Maliki Yawm al-Din is another recitation. So like the king of the day of resurrection. Okay, so it can mean the king of the day of resurrection or the owner, but both meanings, it's got the same implication that Allahu Ta'ala, on that day, that's when you realize who is the true king. Who is the true king? Because in this life, people can be misled. They can think that someone's a king or someone's got power, but that's when you see to whom the true power and kingdom belongs on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's why when Allah will call out and say, Ain al-Muluk al-Alt, where are the kings of this world? Where are the kings? Like, you thought you were so mighty, you thought you had so much power, so much freedom to oppress. And then Allah will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, to whom is the kingdom this day? And there'll be no one to answer. No one's got power to answer. Nobody can even utter a word. And that's why Allah Ta'ala will say, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. It's to Allah alone. Allah alone, the irresistible. Allah alone, the irresistible. SubhanAllah. Okay, it's only for Allah. Then this, and SubhanAllah, my dear sisters, in this ayah is a healing to every person who ever got oppressed in this world. Every person who ever got oppressed in this world, there's a healing. Because this is your day of justice. This is your day of justice that you've been waiting for all these long years of suffering and going through trials due to the oppression of others. This is your day to get your justice. So there's healing in these words. And so also Allah Ta'ala says, La ظلم اليوم. There's no oppression on this day. In this dunya, even if you went to a court case and you might have got some justice, it's never complete justice. The majority of victims who walk away from court cases, they don't feel they got their justice, right? But on Yom Al-Qiyamah, la ظلم اليوم. There's no oppression on Yom Al-Qiyamah. Everybody will be given even an atom's weight of, like, they'll be recompensed even an atom's weight of oppression that they went through. Even to the level that there's a hadith that mentions about two rams. So Allah will even establish justice between the animals to that level. So two rams, they had a fight in this dunya. One had horns, the other one didn't have horns. So obviously who won? The one that had the horns won and the other one was killed. But that's not fair because he had horns, he didn't have horns. So on Yom Al-Qiyamah, Allah will raise them and they will, the one who had didn't have horns will take his haq from the one who had horns, but then Allah will make them dust because there's, you know, they are not, the animal's not held to account. And so when a kafir sees that, they'll say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. I wish that I was dust. Because when a person knows they're going to be called to account for their dhulm, it would be better for them to be have been an animal in this world rather than to be a human, because the animals aren't going to be thrown into the hellfire for their oppressions. Okay, so this is the day that Allah Ta'ala is going to take retribution on behalf of every single person who was oppressed, every single person who was unjustly killed, every single person who suffered and was, you know, had their rights taken away from them in this dunya. This is their day. So this is a comfort you feel in your heart. You should long for that day. Like, know that this is your comfort. SubhanAllah, Allah is reminding you. You know, don't despair. The day is coming, you know. And the other thing too, another way we should be feeling as well with this, obviously, is feeling fear from Allah. Because we have to not just be focusing on what other people have done. More importantly, is to focus on our own selves. What have we prepared for this day? So when you read Maliki Yawmiddin, you need to realize that's the day you're going to be standing there alone. There's going to be no one there to argue on your behalf. You know, there's going to be no, you can't give excuses, false excuses. It's all about what you did. You have to face up to what you chose in this life. You know, you have to, did you choose the deeds of the Jannah or did you choose the deeds of the hellfire? Wa'udhu billah. And you can't hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why everything is open on that day. Everything's opened up. So and so that's why when we read these verses, we should feel fear. Okay, so those are the three, they are the three pillars of ibadah. They are the three pillars of worship. To worship Allah with love, to worship Allah with hope, and to worship Allah with fear. And some of the ulama, they said, you know, they gave the description that it resembles a bird. Like the way that you are traversing in this journey back to Allah. Like we're on a journey, we're all on a journey in this dunya, traversing back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way you should be approaching this journey is like the bird. So the bird, it's, you know, the what resembles a bird is love resembles the head of that bird. So the main focus you have towards Allah is your love for Allah. That's what's guiding you, right? But then how do you fly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You have to be balanced between hope and fear. You can't just have all hope without and let your wing of fear not be there. Because if you have only hope, you rely on that hope and you won't protect yourself from the fire. So, and you also, if you only rely on your wing of fear and not like you worship Allah only out of fear and without hope, then you tend to, what happens is that you end up being so harsh on yourself and saying, Allah couldn't forgive me. What's the use in me praying? I've done so many sins. And so you end up falling in a heap and not doing anything because you're worried about, like, you've got too much fear. Like, you're despairing of Allah's rahmah. You're despairing of Allah's rahmah. Okay, so to be balanced in our worship, we have to be like that bird, being balanced between hope and fear and not letting one go more than the other. So that's how these first three verses, it's all for Allah. These first three verses are all for Allah. Okay? Praising Him, full of our hearts full of love and veneration, our hearts full of hope, and our hearts full of fear. And so these first three verses are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we come to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help from. So now, here Allah ta'ala is, so subhanAllah, before that we were talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third person. We're saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. We're talking about Allah in the third person. But now subhanAllah, from the subtlety of the Arabic language, now Allah makes us talk to Allah direct. This is how the Al-Fatiha is so interesting. It's waking up your heart. Like, you were thinking that way, now you're talking to Allah direct. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Ya Allah, you alone we worship. And Ya Allah, you alone we seek your help from. So now this ayah is like a contract between you and Allah. It's like a contract between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're saying, Ya Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone, we single out and we have hope and love and fear in you alone. So this is Tawheed al-Uluhiyah. This is your action towards Allah. It's your action towards Allah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyah. You're singling out alone, Allah alone in your worship. And worship is not just outer worship, sisters. Worship is not just prayers and fasting. Worship is of the heart. And in fact, all worship begins from the heart. Okay, so why do you pray to Allah? Out of your love for Allah, out of your fear from Allah, out of your hope in Allah, right? Why do I fast? Same thing. So all worship springs from the heart. So this is you have that approach towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You approach Allah in this way, and then you ask Allah's help in that. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. All right, it's you who we ask help from. And this is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. This is Allah helping you now. Allah's helping you. So you're showing that in order for you to be able to worship Allah, you need to be able to depend upon Him. Like, you can't do it by yourself. You need Allah's help in order for you to be able to worship Him. Isn't it? Like, in order for you to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're in need for Allah's help to do that. So this is helping you have tawakkul on Allah. It's helping you have dependence and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the goal, the reason why worship is mentioned first is because our goal is to worship Allah. But then in order to reach this goal, we need the help of Allah. What's the means to reach the goal? The help of Allah. So our goal is to worship Allah. But how do we reach our goal? The means, which is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like I said, this is like an ahd. It's like a contract between Allah and His servant, because it's upon an abd, it's upon a servant to worship Allah. And then if you do that, it's upon Allah to aid you. Do you understand? So it's upon you to worship Allah. That's your part of the contract. And when you do that, Allah will aid you. So that's why in a hadith, it actually mentions about Al-Fatiha. And it says, when you come to the verses, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, it's mentioned in a hadith Qudsi that Allah said, this is between me and my servant. This is like your contract between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we move to the next part of Al-Fatiha, which is in fact all for ourselves. Now it's all about you. You're making dua now. You're making dua for yourself. So you're saying, Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Ya Allah, guide us to the straight path. Because there are different types of paths. You know, there's the straight path which leads to Allah, and then there are many crooked paths that take you away from the path of Allah. And a'udhu billah, they lead to the Jahannam, wa a'udhu billah, unless Allah saves us. So we are seeking the hidayah from Allah. Here we're seeking the guidance from Allah. We're seeking the guidance from Allah. So after we sought help in our ibadah, we're also seeking help in our guidance to stay upon the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To stay upon, you know, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah doesn't guide someone, they'll never be guided. You know, even in the beginning of the lesson, what did I say? Yeah, مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَمُضِلَّ لَهُ. Whoever Allah guided them, then they are guided. So we can't hope to be guided except with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to realize, my dear sisters, that the dunya can be given to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and whom He does not love. All right, the dunya, if you look at the dunya, the way it's divided. You see from those who are given dunya, that dunya is even given to the kuffar. Like, it's even given to the most hated of people. You know, even the worst of oppressors and the worst of lowest of people, Allah gave them dunya. So that's, being given dunya is not a sign of Allah's love. All right, so the dunya is given to whom Allah loves and whom Allah does not love. As is mentioned in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْتِي الدُّنْيَا مَنْ يُحِبْ وَمَنْ لَا يُحِبْ. That verily Allah gives the dunya to whom He loves and whom He does not love. وَلَا يُعْتِي الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا مَنْ يُحِبْ. Like, so the iman is not given except to Allah, who Allah loves. So how do you know, like, who is the one who Allah loves? It's if they are upon iman or not. If you're upon iman, it's a sign of Allah's love for you, not about how much material possessions you've been given. So we have to realize that the hidayah, like guidance, is only given to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So we're asking Allah to guide us to the siratul mustaqim, which is the path of those. What is the siratul mustaqim? What is the straight path? The straight path is the path of all those who Allah blessed them and bestowed His favor upon them. Okay, and who are they? Who are the ones who Allah blessed them and bestowed His favor upon them? Allah tells us about that in another surah in the Quran, Surah Nisa. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they are with the ones who Allah favored. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, from the prophets and messengers. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, and the sincere, truthful believers. وَالشُّهَدَاءِ, the martyrs. وَالصَّالِحِينَ, and the righteous believers. They are the best to be in their companionship with them. All right, so we're asking Allah Ta'ala to be with the cream of creation. You're asking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to be with them, to be, you know, raised with them, and to traverse the same path in this dunya as they traversed. So why, you know, you could ask yourself, why do we ask Allah for guidance in every single prayer? And you have to realize that why we do it is to show you how much you're in need for the guidance of Allah in every day and night. We cannot afford to be without the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day and night. So it shows you how much in every hour of our lives we're in need for the guidance of Allah. Because without the guidance of Allah, we could easily slip off the path of Allah and fall into misguidance. So this path, the only ones who traverse it, like I said, are the messengers and the righteous from the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are the ones who an'amta alayhim, who you bestowed your favor upon them. An'amta alayhim. You blessed them with iman and hidayah and al-istiqamah. Al-hidayah, like guidance, and al-istiqamah, steadfastness. That's all blessings from Allah, to be chosen to be from those who are given iman in Allah, who are given hidayah, guidance, and kept on the straight path until they meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because you have to always ask yourself, what have you really found if you've lost Allah in your life? And what have you really lost as long as you have Allah? As long as you have Allah, what have you truly lost? So Allah ta'ala says, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Okay, so the path of those whom you favored, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, not those whom you were angry with. Not those whom you're angry with, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, nor those whom went astray. So these ayat relate to two different types of people in respect to knowledge. These two ayat relate to two different types of people in respect to knowledge. So we have to realize, my dear sisters, that some people, they have knowledge, but they don't act upon it. And it does not go beyond their throats. And it doesn't affect them. It doesn't transform their lives. Okay? So these are the ones, ultimately, that's something that brings the anger for Allah. That you know, but yet you don't act. What does Allah say in the Quran? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Like, that you say what you don't do. So it's a scary thing that you say, but you don't do. So even though they have knowledge, but it's not a knowledge that reaches the heart. And so what you find is they have no mercy for others. They have no mercy for others. They have no justice. There's no adl. There's no akhlaq. There's no character, there's no manners. There's no trustworthiness or honor or honesty, sorry. And they don't act upon their knowledge. They don't forbid the munkar. They don't enjoin the good. So what's the use of that knowledge if it's not having an effect on them? So knowledge should have an effect upon you. It should transform you. And so with these ayat, we have to reflect upon these ayat. How much is our knowledge affecting us? You know, we've got knowledge of Islam. All of us have knowledge of Islam. But how much are we acting in comparison to what we know? Because those who came before us, the Jews, that's one set of people, who Allah gave them a lot of knowledge, yet they stopped acting upon it. Their hearts became hardened. They stopped acting upon it and they turned away from that knowledge, right? And they became harsh. Their akhlaq became harsh. And we have to be careful that we don't also follow that same path. Like, Allah didn't give us these examples just for us to say, oh, look at them, look what they did. We have to reflect upon ourselves. Are we going like that? Are we, you know, we have knowledge. Allah chose us to give us Islam, but how honest are we in our dealings? You know, how trustworthy are we? Do we keep our promises? How is our akhlaq? Are we giving a good example of Islam in this earth? So we have to ask all of these questions to ourselves. What are dhalin? And not those who went astray. So these are the ones who they worship Allah upon jahl. They worship Allah upon ignorance. So what happened is that they don't follow the evidence that was brought to them by their prophet. They worship Allah following their desires, following their own opinions and own desires. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad." Whoever does an action that's not from this affair of ours, it's rejected. So it's not for a Muslim to, you know, decide that, look, this is a really nice way of worshiping Allah, I'm gonna do it this way. Like, we have all the Quran, we have all the authentic Sunnah, and yet you want to go find a new way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is turning away from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is also something that brings the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person. So we're asking, in these verses, dear sisters, we're asking Allah to protect us from being amongst those who Allah was angry, or who went astray. So the mu'min is the one on the path that you should be upholding the truth. Like, you should be following the path of upholding the truth, which is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. You uphold whatever Allah has commanded, whatever He has forbidden, you stay away from it, and you follow the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. But like I said, the Jews were the ones who they abandoned. They had the knowledge, but they knew the knowledge, but they hid it, and they turned their backs to it. Whereas the Christians, they want to seek, they had the sincerity, like the Christians had the sincerity, and, you know, but they didn't turn to the proper sources for it. Okay, they didn't turn to the proper sources for it. And that's why both of the Christians and the Jews, you know, that's their share of anger due to that. And we have, and Allah does not want us to be like that. That's why he's asking us to say this in our prayer, so that you don't, you know, turn away from the knowledge that Allah gave you and not let it affect you. Okay, you turn your back and ignore it. And also that you don't try to worship Allah saying I'm sincere, and yet you're turning away from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're making up your own ways of worshipping Allah, which actually come under innovations. So this is not following, this is away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. These are two of the main ways of diverging away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And then at the end, of course, when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we say Ameen. And so we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to this dua that we're saying. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to this dua. So if you can see that if you are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in this way, means your heart is interacting with the verses. Like you're thinking about the meaning of each ayah, and your heart should be interacting, you know, with the verses as you're reciting them. And so inshallah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, if we turn with sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayers in this way, you'll find that the prayer will become inshallah transformational for you within the prayer and even outside of your prayer. That is the beauty of the prayer. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the main reasons Allah gave it to us, so that we would know how to traverse, you know, give us the strength to be able to traverse in this journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the main sources of our strength is through our prayer. You know, what does Allah say? وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبَرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help with patience and with the prayer. And this is how to, you know, this is how to seek that source of patience through the prayer.